Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech haemet, v'chaye olam neta betochenu. Baruch atah Adonai, noten habrit hachadasha. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the word of truth and has planted life everlasting in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the new covenant. Amen. This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is in accord with the Lord's command by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is for those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Long life is in its right hand, and in its left are riches and honor. The Lord was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to render the Torah great and glorious. Rested, Moses would say, "Return, O Lord, to the myriads of Israel's families. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Clothe your priests with righteousness. May those who have experienced your faithful love shout for joy. Hallelujah! For the sake of your servant David, don't delay the return of your Messiah. I give you good instruction. Do not forsake my Torah."
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to have our guest speaker come in just a few minutes, but let me just share a few announcements to begin with. We want to just once again welcome everyone here. If you're visiting, make sure that you come downstairs after the service for our weekly Oneg, and we're going to be having a time of fellowship together, so we encourage you to come down. We have our Torah schedules made up for December, so if those who are reading, just pick one up. And it was really a blessing to have Tal read the portion today. This is a very important one. Todot is really the beginning of Israel as a nation through Abraham and Isaac, and then now through Jacob, Jacob's son. And then God's promise was through Jacob and his descendants. And so this is a very important Torah portion for today. Let me just share a few announcements as well. We have our yeshiva that's happening. We had it last night. It was, Rabbi Andrew did a wonderful job of getting us into the book of Joshua. Covered a lot of area last night, and really it was a blessing. And it's still not too late for you to join up. And if you want to take a portion of the course, you're welcome to do that. Today we have two sessions, one at 2 to 5, and then one from 5 or 6 to 8, and then again tomorrow from 5 to 9. And so if you'd like to take advantage of this opportunity, I know that once you hear Andrew speaking today, hopefully that'll encourage you to consider taking this course, at least the rest of it, because you'll really be blessed by it. And also, we are planning to begin our home groups in January. I'm just kind of working with the leaders and putting together a guide to help the leaders understand what's involved in leading a home group. So we'll be starting those in January. So we'll be giving more information on that, just so that you're wondering what's happening with the home groups. We're also planning a Hanukkah craft sale beginning next Sunday, December the 4th and 11th, and so we're getting close to Hanukkah. And so we invite, if anyone's are any artisans are among us, if you want to put up a table and sell some of your crafts, you know, you're welcome to do so. Just speak to Shoshana. We have a beautiful display of Hanukkahs. You know that if you don't have a Hanukkah for Hanukkah, you're welcome to get one. You can get more than one. We have quite a few at our home. So, you know, it's nice to have different Hanukkahs. We're going to be having a nice Hanukkah Shabbat dinner in December where we all light up our Hanukkahs, sit around the tables, and just really enjoy a nice time with those beautiful potato latkes and sufganio jelly donuts. And I'm going to be making my famous potato latkes, so make sure that you come to our Hanukkah dinner for that in December. And let's see here. You know, I just found out today, you know, that that Johannes and Anna Rhee, you know, who've been our family from South Africa, you know, they are getting transferred down to California. Of all places, who'd want to move to California? I mean, come on, that's a bit kind of crazy, right? And so actually he had an opportunity to get a job transfer down in California there. And so this is his last Shabbat with us. And so really sad because they're such a special couple. And I thought maybe if you'd like just to come forward, let's just pray for you both. You know, just really, we have a few South Africans in our congregation. And I just love South Africans. I've never met someone, a South African, I didn't like. And I know, probably. But let's just pray for them. Father, thank you for Johannes and Anne-Marie. Lord, thank you for their time with us over these last year or so. Father, we just pray you bless them as they begin to this new, next part in their journey. You go before them. You would protect them, keep them safe. Pray for all the logistics, all the preparations, all the planning as they prepare for this new experience. Lord God, I pray that you'd really give Johannes wisdom as he begins this new position. And Lord, that you would just remember us, Father, even watch us by live stream. And Lord, we just pray, God, for your blessing upon this couple. Watch over them, keep them safe, keep them healthy. And just thank you, God, for their time that they had with us, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. Do you want to say a few words there?
Yes, hello. So I just wanted to actually say thank you to this congregation for having us for this couple of months that we could spend with you. And you've been very welcoming and very friendly and very kind to us. And we appreciate that. We don't take it for granted. So thank you very much.
Okay, so make sure that you bid them farewell. Shalom, a good shalom during our Yoneg. And, you know, we're going to miss you both. You guys are really, they came to our foundation class as well. And we actually finished our foundation class. And we did it a little bit different. Of course, with all this technology, you know, we had a couple of sessions by Zoom. I mean, it's not quite the same as being in person, but yet we still were able to do the Anne-Marie and Johannes joined us for our foundation class. So, you know, hopefully you'll continue to watch us, you know, down in California. We have people from all over the world watching us, and so that's kind of one of the advantages of live streaming is to have opportunity. In fact, we have, for our yeshiva course, we have, 10 from Lethbridge who signed up for our course, and we have our favorite Rachel from Parksville. She's always is with us every Wednesday night for our Bible study, and she comes to everything, all of our live stream services, and then she comes to our yeshiva as well. So we're kind of excited that we can reach out to people beyond the borders of Calgary here and be able to reach out. So anyways, in any case, we want to welcome Rabbi Andrew Zeidman from Toronto. He started a congregation, Rosh Pina, in Toronto area. There's a number of Messianic congregations in Toronto. And so we really try to invite all the Messianic leaders from across Canada to come, you know, to our congregation, either to teach a course or just to speak, just so that way we get to know some of the Messianic leaders that are in this country. And, you know, Andrew goes back a long ways. You know, he might share a little bit about, you know, this Scott mission that they had in his father began in Toronto. It's got a long history. And so Rabbi Andrew has started a congregation in Toronto a number of years ago, and he's an excellent teacher. We're really blessed to have him come and teach this yeshiva course with us this weekend. And so Rabbi Andrew, why don't you just come? And also he lived down in Arizona for about a year, so he loves horses. So he feels right at home here in Calgary with all these, you know, like Western mentality, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, so
thank you,
God's blessing on you.
Okay, there we go. All right, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Thank you, Rabbi Cal, and I just want to thank all of you, and especially Rabbi Cal and Rabbi Revitson Jan, for inviting me to be here with you this morning. It's a real blessing. It's always amazing to visit Messianic congregations in other, you know, other places, and find that there is a, you know, worldwide community that we're all part of, the Messianic movement around Canada and around the world. And it's always great to be able to walk into a Messianic congregation and just feel the love of the people and feel the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God moving among us. I'll never forget one time when I was in Israel visiting some family members there, and they live in basically the Tel Aviv area. And they were not believers. One of them just passed away, actually, and I do believe he actually received the Messiah. He had two visions of Yeshua, actually. I was there for one of them. He actually had a vision of Yeshua. But at the time, they weren't believers. And we walked into a congregation that was there in Tel Aviv, and a Messianic congregation. I invited them, and I honestly felt, as we walked in, you just felt the tangible presence of Adonai. And I looked at their faces, and they felt it too, and I could see that, and I said, that's the Ruach HaKodesh. And that's the same thing I feel here in Beth Shekhinah, the house of glory, the presence of Adonai among us. And it's just really great to be here. And as Rabbi Cal said, I kind of love the West, and I love Alberta, so I'm glad to be here in Calgary. It's a real awesome privilege. Thank you so much for having me. So today, what I would like to do is share with you, as you can see the on the screen there, the message is called "The Lord Will Provide," or in Hebrew, Adonai Yireh. And I wanted to share this. This is something that the Lord put on my heart as I was praying and seeking Him about what to share with you. So even though this is from a couple of weeks ago, from the Torah reading from a couple of weeks ago, I felt I wanted to share this with you because it really is a message that God has put on my heart and has a personal sort of significance for me that I want to impart to you. Amen. Is that all right this morning? Okay. So before we dive into this, let me just pray one more time. I always like to pray before I begin to speak on the Word of God. So, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzhak, ve'Elohei Yaakov. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come to you one more time. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thank you for bringing each and every one of us here today, Lord, and in person, and also those who are online. And we thank you that this is Beth Shekhinah, the house of your glory, your manifest presence. And I ask that you will touch our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, I pray, even as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things from your Torah, your instructions, the whole Word of God. And so we thank you for this, Lord God, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So, the Lord will provide. Adonai Yireh. Well, as I mentioned, this comes from a Torah portion that I'm sure you read a couple of weeks ago. It basically comes from Genesis chapter 22, which is known as Akedat Yitzhak, the binding of Isaac. It's the story, as you know, where God tested our father Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him in Mount Moriah. And, of course, again, we know that was just a test. It wasn't really in God's heart or mind to ever do anything like that. He was testing Abraham. And so let's look at it. What I want to do today this morning is just look at the a couple of levels of meaning. One, what is the basic meaning of this text, Genesis 22, what was going on, but also the prophetic, spiritual meaning of it with regards to Yeshua the Messiah, and then also what it means as an application in our lives. Amen? So let's just look at a couple of verses here. I'm using another computer here, so I hope I get this right. here we go. So Genesis 22:1. Now it was after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and Hineni, he said. Hineni is the cry of the servant of the Lord. Hineni basically means, here I am, or behold, here is your servant. And it's a way of saying, I'm ready, Lord. I'm listening, Lord. What do you want to say to your servant? Because I'm ready to not only listen to what you have to say to me today, but I'm ready that if you're calling me to do something, send me, I will go. This is what this means. Hineni. Can everyone say it? Hineni. This is the cry of the servant of the Lord. This is the prophet's cry. This is when God called to many of these men of God in the Bible and women of God, their response was, Hineni, here I am, Lord. Now, that needs to be our cry, too, from our hearts to God. And you can say it sometimes, Hineni, Lord, here I am. Now, you know, Abraham had quite an amazing life. He's the father of our faith. We call him Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father. And as we know, that's not just for the Jewish people, but that's for all the believers who truly believe in the God of Israel through the Messiah Yeshua. We're all children of Abraham. And so, hallelujah, he's our father. And we look at his life, and we see many lessons that we can learn. But we see that, you know, he was just like us. He made a lot of mistakes throughout his life. We know that he even, a couple of times in the story of Abraham, he even, you know, he lied once about, or twice actually, about his wife Sarah. You know the story. So he made a lot of mistakes in his life, just like we do. But here, now at this point, in the end of his, towards the end of his life, is the greatest test that he is going to face. And previously, when we look at the life of Abraham, sometimes he had conversations with God. Sometimes he even kind of, you know, I wouldn't say maybe argued with God. Like when God said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he entered into a conversation and a kind of a dealing with God, interceding for the city. But here, at this point in his life, he's ready. This is the greatest test of his life, and he's ready to trust God implicitly without any question. And the only word he says is, Hineni, here I am, Lord. So he's saying, I've learned a lot of things in my life, and now I have learned, one of the things I have learned throughout my life is just don't argue, don't doubt, just say, Hineni, here I am, Lord. You think of the movie, you've probably have all seen, Fiddler on the Roof, when Reb Tevye, the milkman, argues with God sometimes. He talks to him, you know, for example, he says at the beginning of the movie, why did you let my horse lose his shoe just before Shabbat? Would it spoil your plans for the world? You know, another time he says, to make me a wealthy man, Lord God. And he has these comments. You know, and in a way it's good. Like, we should be like that too with God, in the sense that, what I mean by that is, in the sense that prayer is not just when you come to shul, or, you know, you go into a certain pose and start praying. Or prayer should be all the time, talking with God, having a conversation with God. Amen? So it's good. But here, we see a similar thing with Abraham. He talks to God. Sometimes he argues with God. But again, he's just saying, here I am, Lord. I'm listening to what you have to say to me. So in verse 2, God says, take your son, your only son whom you love, Yitzhak, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering as on one of the mountains about which I will tell you. This is a very interesting verse. This is the first time in the entire Bible, in the entire Torah, that we read a very powerful word, the word love. This is the first time. There is a law that of interpretation that many Bible scholars talk about called the law of first mention. Have you ever heard of this? Okay, good. So what it means, just for those, maybe someone's not heard of it, is that when you have a very important, powerful word, like the word love, you look at where it first occurs in the scripture. And the first mention of that word gives you sort of a glimpse into what the word is really all about at its deepest level. Here we see the word love. Well, what is the word love all about in the Torah? It shows us that the word love is really what it looks like, is it looks like a father giving his son, who he loves, as a sacrifice. That's what love is all about. And so already we begin, you know, I'm preaching in the choir here. I know, you know, this is a picture of the father and his son, Yeshua, who would later be sacrificed on that actual same spot in Mount Moriah. Now, also we see that, I should go to that verse. I'm pointing to it and it's not there. He said, take your only son whom you love. Again, this is almost an echo of one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So as we look at the story, we go on, we see later on that as they're on their way, and by the way, as they're going there, Abraham says to some of his servants, I and the latter are going to go on and worship. This idea of offering his son Isaac, and Abraham didn't know it was just a test. He was willing to go through with it and willing to give up the promised son that God had, you know, that was a miraculous birth. One of the greatest blessings, if not the greatest blessing he had ever received from God, he was willing to lay it down on an altar, his son. And he called that worship. Amen. And as men and women of God, children of Abraham, we have to look at worship sometimes differently than we, in a way. I'm just saying, worship can be a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice of praise, the Bible says, when we worship God. Worship is giving everything that we have. Worship is giving the best that we have. Worship is being willing to lay down even the greatest blessings that we have at the feet of Adonai. Amen. And so these are some of the things we see here. Now, in verse 7, I'm just sort of jumping down to, and right now we're just looking at the story as it unfolded and how it connects to the Messiah. Then Isaac said to Abraham, his father, as they're going along towards Mount Moriah, they're traveling there. Isaac said to Abraham, his father, my father. Then he said, Hineni, here I am, my son. He said, look, here is the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? All right. Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. The two of them walked on together. This is where we're getting to the heart of this message here. Because this message today is called Adonai Yireh. The Lord will provide. God will provide. So this is where we get to it. Now, Abraham was a prophet. How many knew that? Yeah, he was a prophet. He's called a prophet in the Torah when he prayed for the King Abimelech. He's called a prophet. He was a prophet. So he prophesied here. This was a prophecy of the Bible. This is a very powerful prophecy in the Torah right here. And he said, basically, God is going to provide himself a lamb. Now, in the Hebrew, I loved hearing the Hebrew this morning that was so beautiful of the reader. Thank you for the readings, everybody. That in the Hebrew, you'll notice that when he said, God will provide for himself a lamb. It says, Elohim Yireh Lo Haseh. Okay, God, Elohim Yireh, will provide lo for himself Haseh, the lamb. But what it can mean in the literal translation of the Hebrew, it can have two meanings. One of the meanings could be, like just like as we see it here, God is going to provide himself a lamb. But it can also be literally read as saying, God will provide himself for a lamb. Literally. And as we know, both are true. Amen. Now, the other thing amazing about this verse, I'll just tell you this right now, this morning, this is the only verse in the Torah or the entire Tanakh where you have a lamb that belongs to who? God. It's God's lamb. Therefore, this is the Lamb of God. So therefore, when, you know, in the gospel, when Yeshua started his ministry in John 1, and John saw Yeshua coming, and his whole role was to be the voice crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the day of the Lord, proclaiming that the Messiah is now come and preparing the way. When he saw Yeshua coming, he didn't say, behold the Messiah, or look at this, this is the son of David, the great king. And though he could have said those things, but he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is he talking about? This verse right here. Because this is the only verse where we see God has a lamb. And who is it? It's Yeshua. Now, as we read on in the passage, this is one of, okay, let's, this is one of these verses where you can have a really corny joke for techie people, right? Say, God, where was the first computer? Well, God provided the RAM, right? Or something like that. Not that great at those jokes. All right, it's almost as good as Moses downloaded something from the cloud. You know what? Not quite as good. All right, but here we go. So basically, in verse 13, remember, Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. But as they actually go on, and Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, it says, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was not a lamb, but a ram just caught in the thick bushes by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. This is why, one of the reasons why we read this reading on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the day of the Feast of Trumpets, because when we hear this sound of this instrument, the shofar, it, one of the things it calls us to remember is that God provided a substitutionary sacrifice for Isaac because the ram was caught by its horns in the thicket. And that's what we remember. By the way, last night we were talking about Joshua. Do you know what this is in Hebrew? Shofar, right? You'd say it. And I would say, shofar, so good, right? No, but there's another word for it in Hebrew. Yovel, the Jubilee. This literally is called, the ram's horn is called the Jubilee. And when you would hear the sound of the Jubilee, the horn, it represented you would be set free from all of your debts and so on. But that's something we talked about last night. So, here we see that God provided not a lamb, but a ram. Why? Because the prophecy of the lamb was still waiting fulfillment when Yeshua came. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at this story, I just want to sort of back up for a second. We look at this story, we see Abraham going with his son, the promised son, his greatest blessing to him and Sarah, going to offer him on this mountain. He doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but he has faith in God. He makes the declaration that Adonai will provide a lamb for himself. But he doesn't know. But the word to provide here, yireh, or you see provide for himself, yireh, actually comes from the Hebrew root word to see, doesn't it? Can I get an amen for that? Yeah, yireh means to see. He will see to it. God will see to it. That's what even the word in English provide comes from, the Latin providere. Vide is like where we get the word video, to see, to watch something. God will see to it. What does it mean, folks? It means that when Abraham's going up the mountain, he doesn't know. He's trusting God. He's walking by faith. But God already sees that on the other side of the bush, on the other side of the mountain, the provision is there. God is our provider today. And sometimes when we're walking by faith, we don't see the answer to the prayer. We don't see the provision, but God sees what's on the other side of that mountain. God sees what's on the other side of that hill that you're going up right now, whatever it might be. He already sees the answer. He already has the plan. And that's why Abraham said, Adonai yireh lo. Now, in the end of it, of this story, we see that the place actually became called, Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide, Adonai yireh. That's where that comes from, the phrase Adonai yireh. So, as believers in Yeshua, we have to walk by faith just like Abraham. This title of God, one of God's names, Adonai yireh, is one of what we would call his covenant names, right? God has many different names that he is called by in the Torah and in the writings. But there are seven names that are called the covenantal names of God that people talk about. But one of them is Adonai yireh, the Lord is our provider. Another one, Adonai Rapha, the Lord our healer. Another one, Adonai Roeh, the Lord our shepherd. We heard it this morning. And what else? Nisi, we heard. Yes, Shalom. Sevaoth, yep, Tzidkenu, our righteousness. All of these are the covenantal names of God. They reflect part of the aspect of God's essence of who he is for us in his covenantal relationship with us. Amen? I see a hand. Okay, praise God. All right. Because I take questions sometimes. But don't feel shy. But for us, he is Adonai yireh. He gives us our daily bread. Amen? We think of the story of the manna in the wilderness. Why do we have two challahs on Shabbat? Traditionally, not everyone always has it, but many times on Shabbat, on the table in Shabbat, in Friday night, Arab Shabbat, there are two challah loaves. Why? Because it is to remember he is our provider. Every week, every Shabbat, God gives us our daily bread. And he gave the people of Israel a double portion of manna on Friday so that they would be able to rest on Shabbat. And that's our God. And we remember every week. It's so part of the Shabbat, you know. He's our creator. He's our provider. Now, I want to sort of now bring this a little more closer to home to each of us, if I can, by first talking about some of my own story that I hope will encourage you when you think of the Lord our provider. Because I really feel this is important for us because we're living in uncertain times. Are we not? We hear all kinds of things going on in the news. You know, you hear about the stock markets up and down and they're going to do this currency and that and just all these different things. And people are worried about what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, as believers, the Lord is our provider. And we have to trust that, and we have to walk like our father Abraham, knowing that God knows what's on the other side of each hill, and he's going to look after us. Now, when I grew up, as Rabbi Cal mentioned, I grew up in a ministry in Toronto, in a sense. I mean, I grew up, my parents worked there. My grandparents had founded it. It was a ministry in Toronto, which originally was a outreach to the Jewish people in Toronto. And actually, it was one of the first, or if not the first, what we would now call Messianic synagogue in North America. It was in 1908. They founded, way back then, something called the Hebrew Christian Synagogue. So that's the language they used back then. Today we would say Messianic Jewish, but it's basically the same thing. A place for Jewish and Gentile people to come together to worship the God of Israel in spirit and in truth, and in a way that's a uniquely Hebraic expression of our faith, just like Yeshua would have done, right? So this is what this is about. This is why we're here today. This is what that ministry was about. Now, as it went on, they reached out for one story I want to tell you is that they reached out to the Jewish community, and they found that there was no camp like for Jewish children to go to. How many people have ever been to camp or sent their children to camp? Or, you know, it's a great experience. But at that time, early on in Toronto, Jewish people were coming to Canada as more or less, you know, refugees from Europe and so on. I'm talking about in the, you know, 30s and so on. And there was no camp for Jewish children in, probably in Canada. I mean, if it wasn't in Toronto, I bet it probably wasn't anywhere. So they felt led that they needed to have a camp for Jewish kids to reach out to them and just to provide a place for them to go. So they built a camp in Hillsborough, Ontario. And one day there was a terrible fire that burned the entire place down. And only one thing survived in that fire. And it was one of these, I don't even know what the right word is. It's like one of those things that you hang on the wall that's woven, or a tapestry type thing. And it had the phrase, "The Lord will provide." That was all that survived of the fire. And they still have it there, I believe, at the mission. But the entire place burnt down to the ground, except for the door of one of the buildings was closed over that and protected it, and it survived. So they took that as a promise. They took that placard, or whatever you want to call it, tapestry, "The Lord will provide," that God was going to provide. And sure enough, somebody actually ended up supplying an even better camp for them, 100 acres, that they basically just gave to them to have a camp for the children. And so these are the stories that we heard growing up. I heard the stories. The Lord will provide. It was like deep in our, you know, almost in our DNA. We heard it. This was part of the testimony. But then, you know what? I had to learn it for myself firsthand. Because you can hear the stories, but now you have to walk in it yourself and learn and grow in your own faith. So even up here, I'm talking about Abraham. We read the story, hear the story, but now we have to walk in faith. Right? So I had to learn this myself. I began to work in ministry too at that same place in Toronto. It's called the Stop Mission. And there were times where we would have, for example, an evening where we were showing, you know, a presentation of the good news to people. We were working with poor people at the time. They would come in, but we didn't have anything to eat, but we prayed. And as the movie that we were showing ended, there's a doorbell ringing at the side door. We go over, there's a truck, like a van. The guy comes to the door. He says, "I've got all these pizzas, gourmet pizzas. Can you use them?" You know, and we just, you know, laughed and said, "Hallelujah." So we began to see how the Lord, I began to see it firsthand now, not just hearing the message or hearing the testimony of my parents or my grandparents, but I began to actually see how God provided for the needs of the ministry firsthand. And it was, and that began to become part of my walk. You know, this is a lot like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for us as believers, because each of them had to have their own personal encounter with God and their own walk of faith. They couldn't just say, I'm Abraham's child. They had to have an encounter with God and walk by faith themselves. Amen? And that's the same for us. There's a saying you might have heard, and it's kind of like, God doesn't have any grandchildren. No, he just has sons and daughters. And so we can't go on our parents' faith, even though that's a blessing. And many of you probably have godly parents, and it is such a blessing. And I'm not diminishing that. But all I'm saying is we have to walk our walk today in faith with the God of our forefathers. Now, there was another famous person. Now, you've probably heard of Hudson Taylor. How many have heard of Hudson Taylor? He was amazingly used by the Lord God to bring the good news of Yeshua to China. And if anybody was an apostle in modern times, I would say he was. You know, some people use the term loosely now, and I'm not sure about that. But I'll tell you, Hudson Taylor's work is still bringing forth fruit in China. He basically brought the good news. Anyway, he was from England. And he had one of these things on his wall, too. One of these same kind of, I got to get the right word for it, but you know what I'm talking about. Needlepoint. That's it. I got it. All right. Thank you. And so he had one of them, and he had two words on there in Hebrew. He had Adonai Yireh, and he had Ebenezer. And somebody said, why did he have it only these two words hanging on his wall? Because Ebenezer is from 1 Samuel 7:12 and basically means hitherto or until now, God has been our help. He's our rock of help. He's been my help. And then Adonai Yireh means the Lord will see to it. So the point that he was saying is whether he looked back or whether he looked ahead, he knew that the Lord was at work in his life. And that he had nothing to fear. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's you and I. We walk by faith and not by sight. God is our provider. Amen. And it's not just for some ministry there. It's not just for these, you know, famous people who like Hudson Taylor. This is for all of us. And that's the encouragement I want to give to us today, to myself and to you and to all of you. Even as we go through times where we don't know what's coming down the pike in terms of the financial situation, we don't know. People are worried out there. People are afraid. But we don't need to be afraid because God is going to provide. He knows what's on the other side of that hill. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting or shadow. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeshua the Messiah. He is our provider. Everything we have comes from Him. He created us. So we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Him. And He has redeemed us by providing the Lamb. So, number one, let's not forget that. The Lamb of God, Yeshua, came and He provided the Lamb. He provided our salvation. But He also provides our every need, our daily needs. I can remember one time in particular, I just want to share it and then in closing, is that one time I was in need. And I'm talking about a financial need. And some of us go through that. Let's be honest. It happens. And it's okay. But I went through this and I literally had to just cry out to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Just literally just cry out to the Lord. I mean, from your deepest part. And I just cried. And then I was amazed. I went to my mailbox. I left it. I cried out to the Lord. Go to the mailbox. There was a letter, and there was something in the mail from the government. And I thought, oh, evasion meter. a letter from Revenue Canada. This is the last thing I need now. But guess what it was? They said, we've reassessed your taxes and we owe you $400, you know, and some odd dollars. And I thought, that's never happened to me before. This is a miracle. But the point is, God cares about your needs. So spiritually, he provides Yeshua, our Savior, you know, eternal life. That's number one. But he cares about every need that you have for you and your family. And I just want to close in prayer. God, we thank you for the testimony of your word, Lord God, that tells us that you are a covenant, faithful God, Adonai Yireh, the Lord who sees to it. Even when we don't see what's on the other side of that hill, whatever that hill might be, you see the answer. You will see to it. You will take care of our needs. You provide our daily bread, Lord God, for each one of us. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have been our Ebenezer, our help hitherto in all of our lives. We thank you that you provided the Lamb of God, Yeshua, to cleanse us from our sins and give us life everlasting. And I thank you, Lord, that you care about even the smallest of our needs, whatever that might be. And I just pray right now, Lord God, for everybody here, everybody listening, that you would just pour out blessings, Lord God, and increase our faith. And as we cry out to you, Lord God, I know that you will hear our prayer. Let our cry be, as Abraham's was, Hineni, here I am, Lord. I'm listening, I'm ready for whatever you have for me. And the rest we trust and we leave to you, Lord, that you will see to it. We thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Baruch Hashem.
Amen. Thank you so much, you know, Rabbi Andrew. That was a very timely message, you know, that I'm sure that we can all relate to that. The Lord is our provider, and sometimes we do go through times where we're just not quite sure how that is working. But it's kind of interesting because I put in our update here a scripture that Yeshua spoke of from Matthew 6. Let me just read it regarding our attitude towards God's faithful provision. Yeshua said, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Do they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which one of you, by worrying, can add a single day to your lifespan? And so that's a very timely word for us, you know, that we live in a time where there's so much uncertainty, and we do need to, we walk by faith and not by sight. And God wants us to trust that he will provide for us. And I know that some of us are going through some very challenging times. You know, even as a congregation, we're going through some challenging times. But God is faithful and he will provide. And so don't forget the importance of giving, because that's an expression of our faith. You know, and Hineni, hear my Lord, send me. You know, we want to be sent by God. We want to be servants of the Most High. We want to be faithful and obedient to what his word tells us. Amen. And so I'd encourage you just to, as an expression of faith, you know, just remember not to forget your tithe, and to remember that God is faithful and he'll provide for all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So Lord, thank you so much for that good word that Rabbi Andrew shared. Lord God, I thank you that you are the one that does provide for us, that you are the Lamb yourself who came and provided redemption and salvation for everyone who's willing to call upon your name. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're faithful, Lord, that we can trust in you. And, Lord, we know that we're going through challenging times, but, Lord, that's all a part of testing our faith, even as Abraham was tested. Lord, that we too will be tested. And, Lord, you will help us, God, to be faithful and obedient when you speak to our hearts. And we just thank you, Father. We praise you for your blessing. Be with Rabbi Andrew and his congregation, Rosh Pina, in Toronto. God, just bless them. Lord, just continue to provide for them. And Lord, just bless their ministry. Thank you for his time together with us. And we just pray that your anointing would be upon him. And Lord, upon the Messianic movement across this country as we endeavor to see this vision grow
and prosper and have good success so that we can be effective reaching out to our people and sharing with them the good news of Messiah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And so if we really encourage you, if you still like to, I know that I was really blessed by what he said today. And so if you'd like to get more blessing, you know, consider taking some of the yeshiva, either one or two sessions or take the rest of the sessions. I know that you'll be blessed. You know, we're going through Joshua and then Judges, Ruth, you know, they're all kind of tied together. And so, you know, it's all about taking possession of our inheritance, even as Israel took possession of their inheritance. They're still battling for that inheritance 4,000, 5,000 years later. They're still battling for their inheritance of the land. But God's given us a spiritual inheritance, and he wants us to take possession. And that spiritual inheritance is people. God really wants us to reach out and to share this good news with our people. And so let's just be encouraged today. You know, for those who are live streaming with us, thank you for joining us. And I trust that we'll really be encouraged as we're entering into this new season. We're coming up to the Feast of Hanukkah. And it's a time of dedication. We'll be focusing on that in the coming weeks as well. And so let's just really trust that Adonai will go before us and really provide for us in whatever area we're going through, whether it's health, whether it's finances. God is our faithful provider. Amen. Amen. We're going to just, let's just stand together as Melissa leads us in the closing song, and then I'll say the benediction. Well, just wait a second. I'm sorry. Before we do, I forgot to mention a very important announcement. Michael Webb, his mother-in-law, passed away last weekend. You know, Pam, his wife's mother, passed away. She was living with them in their home. And so just let's really remember Michael Webb. They're having their funeral tomorrow. You know, we've had our experience of people passing away, but she was getting up there in years. So let me just pray for them. Father, we just pray for Michael and for Pam and for their family, Lord, as they prepare for this funeral. You know, it's always a sad thing for a mother to lose her daughter. There's always that special close relationship that they have, and I know that they had a close relationship together. And we just pray that you would bless, you know, this family. Father, you're the Father of mercies, and you're the God of all comfort. And I pray that you would comfort the Webb family, Lord, as they grieve the loss of a mother-in-law, of a mother, of a grandmother. Father, we just thank you, God, that your hand is upon this family. In Yeshua's name, amen.